I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about keeping life in focus and adding value to your life by adding value to other people's life. Adding value to your life by adding value to other people's life. Keeping life in focus. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And today we're going to go through several verses. We'll go through verses 1 through 11 today. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Robert, thank you for running the sound this morning. Dr. Dyer. Barry got a new shoulder this week, right? So we're getting all kinds of new devices. We're going to be the bionic people around here, aren't we? And so thank you, Robert. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read from the New King James Version first. Then I'm going to read it again in just a moment from the Message, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. We have walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them to the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, the same passage, the same verses from the Message reads like this. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him, keeping your life in focus, thinking like Jesus. Think of your sufferings, the hard times you're going through. Think of your sufferings, and of course we know that these people that Peter was writing to, we've talked a lot about this, haven't we, were people who were suffering for their faith. They were going through a lot of persecution because they were Christians, from the Roman government, from the Greek and Roman religions around them, from the animists, and from other religions and people who were hostile to their faith. So, he said, think of your sufferings as a weaning, W-A-N-I-N-G, weaning, from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. You've already put your time in that God-ignorant way of life, partying night after night, a drunken and profligate life. Now it's time to be done with it for good. Of course, your old friends understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore, but you don't have to give an account to them. They're the ones who will be called on the carpet and before God himself. Listen to the Message. It was preached to those believers who are now dead. Yet even though they died, just as all people must die, they will still get in on the life that God has given us in Jesus. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all can get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything, on course to him to the end of time. Oh, yes. Keeping life in focus. Now, Peter said again, everything in the world is about to be ramped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. And most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. And so we are taught in Scripture that when we're going through hard times and we're going through difficulty and trial, we need to work very, very hard and be very, very attentive in keeping our life in focus. As we have said, pressure, problems, trouble, difficulties, conflicts can be disorienting. By a show of hands, let me see how many of you have ever felt disoriented in life. That's a unanimous. Never happens in a Baptist church. And St. Joyce did this. Certainly we've all felt disoriented. So the message this morning teaches us how to deal with that disorientation that comes from the pressures and the problems of living, and how then that we can keep our life in focus, and how that in the process we can add value to our life by adding value to other people's lives. So how do we do that? Well, the Apostle Paul, colleague of Peter, gave us a great synopsis and a great prescription for how to accomplish this in just two verses in Philippians chapter 3. If you want to turn over there in your Bibles, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He said, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, we talk about focus groups, right? And we talk about groups of people who get together to talk about things to keep life in focus. Well, imagine that this is a large focus group together today, and we're going to learn biblical principles of how to keep our life together and our mind focused, staying wide awake in prayer, intentional living, even when we're going through great stress and problems in life. Focus on the family taught us the importance through Dr. Dobson's leadership of how a focused life is a life that is able to strengthen our families, strengthen our churches, strengthen our communities, and strengthen our church. So we as Christians need to have a plan. We need to be people that know where we're going and how we're going to get there, and what focus will accomplish in our life. Focus will put our priorities in order. And by the way, you have these sermon notes, and they're the transparent holders. Feel free to walk over there and get them if you don't have them yet at the exits. Focus will put our priorities in order. Because you see, when we get disoriented by the problems and pressures and trials of life, then sometimes our priorities get out of whack. They get out of kelter. Many things that are important work in cross purposes to other things in life that are equally important. And so having the proper focus will put our priorities in order. Look what Paul said. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do." He said, get intentional. Get intentional. Okay, so here we are. Everybody raised their hand. We all get disoriented at times in our life because of pressures and problems. When we're going through those times in our life, what do? We get intentional and we look for ways to add value to others' life. Now, wait a minute. It's my problem. It's my pain. It's my hurt. It's my anxiety. It's my worry. It's what's keeping me awake at night. In our Sunday school class this morning, Ramona Carpenter asked this very key question. Will we be able to sleep when we get to heaven? And Dave Alfrey, our teacher, our able teacher, said, we will not need to sleep when we get to heaven. And Ramona said, I have to have my sleep. And so it's my sleep. It's what's keeping me awake at night. It's my anxiety. So why are you talking about adding value to other people's lives when I'm the one that's suffering? And that is a great, powerful truth of the Christian life. When we're going through disorienting, confusing, difficult times, if we will learn to think like Jesus thought, and if we will do things for others intentionally, we will find focus, we will find our priorities realigning, and we will find our life making sense. So today, in your pain, let it be your pulpit and proclaim the goodness of God to someone by helping somebody else. Let's go home. Well, wait a minute. There's a little bit more, okay? Value people. That's what God is saying here to these people who are suffering that we just read about here that Peter's writing to. Give a bed to the homeless. Give a meal to someone who is hungry. Give words of encouragement to someone. And do it all for the glory of God. We tend to become self-focused, self-oriented. We can't see the forest for the trees because of our pain. And it's a very simple solution. God says when you're in pain, you got to be intentional. You don't feel like doing this, by the way. You don't want to do this. It's not natural to do this. It's natural to focus on your problem and your pain and your suffering. But Peter wrote to those suffering Christians, go find somebody to help, and your life will prioritize. Be intentional with that and value people. There is no such thing as accidental achievement. We have to be intentional with this. Does anybody else besides me need this today? We have to be intentional with this. We have to not, well, you know, stumble onto someone that needs help. We need to look for people who need help. This community is full of lonely people. 22 of our folks went to Elmcroft last Sunday, and we'll go again next Sunday afternoon at 2:00. And that's intentional living, sitting and talking with someone who maybe has not had a visitor from a family member or a friend outside the doors of that establishment all week. And you sit there and you visit with them. To visit at the hospital, to take food to someone who has lost a loved one, to just show up and mow a yard or provide something to a widow or a widower or someone who is hurting or suffering, getting intentionally, that focus will give us a forward mindset. It will allow us to step away from the problems which are trying to drag us back in the past, because that's what problems do, right? Problems are based on something that happened in the past. And so focusing on our problems is always drawing us back into the past. So to move beyond that, we need a forward mindset, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. We forget what has happened in the past and we move forward to what is lying ahead. And that's the secret here of intentional living, is that we see a problem and yet we have a forward mindset that can affect generations. what we do today can affect future generations. I've told you the story before of the Mount Carmel Church in Bologna, Arkansas. Mount Carmel Church is half Baptist and half Methodist. My great-grandfather, let me think, no, my great-great-grandfather, yeah, great-granddaddy Tucker's daddy, my great-great-grandfather, George Washington Tucker, owned a piece of property, and he was a member of the Methodist Church in Bologna. And so he deeded that property to the church to build a church called Mount Carmel, but he saw a problem. The Baptists in that little community just south of Bologna on Highway 107 did not have a place to meet, and they were meeting in the pastor's house. So he had an idea. He said, I'm going to get these Baptists and Methodists to work together. And he said, I'm going to give this land to build a church if the Baptist will have a Baptist preacher 2 weeks out of the month, and the Methodists will have a Methodist preacher 2 weeks out of the month, and they all come to the same building every week, and they all get along. You say, well, that's just radical. That's just radical. That could never happen. Well, there's a recent picture of that little church. I talked to Pastor John Hamby, First Baptist Bologna, the other day at my Aunt Verna's funeral, and he used to pastor that church. I said, John, are they still going? He said, still going. And if you go on their website, they'll say, we like to get together on Sunday morning and not ask people, are you a Baptist or are you a Methodist? We just get together and we worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. It reminds me of the church that was struggling with what they were going to name the church because there are many different denominations. And finally they just decided, well, let's just call ourselves a Christian church. A lady on the back row stood up and said, I've been a Baptist all my life. Ain't nobody going to make a Christian out of me. George Washington Tucker had a forward mindset. And what is this? 1907, 112 years later, it's still working. It's still working. Focus will give us our second wind. What is a second wind? A feeling of new energy that allows you to continue to do something after you have begun to feel tired. Do not be weary with well-doing, the Bible says. We get tired. We get worn out in life, right? We need our sleep, right, Ramona? We need our sleep. But Paul said, I press on. I press on. He said, I realize that I need a second wind and I need to stay focused. Everything worthwhile is uphill all the way. We have uphill hopes, but we have downhill habits. Now, downhill habits are to stay focused on ourselves, introspective, looking at the problems, allowing them to draw us back. When the Word of God says, in your pain and suffering, go out and serve someone else. And so what do we find? We find that God values us. We find that God values me, God values you, and God values people who are imperfect. But here's a powerful truth as we're bringing this message to a close. Here's a powerful truth. Are we going to spend our life connecting with people or correcting people? I want you to do something right now. Turn to the person next to you and say, you may be surprised, but I'm a bit imperfect. Gary is shocked. You know what I just felt? I felt a tremendous spirit of relief just rise up out of this congregation. I'm a bit imperfect. Faults in others, Lord, I can clearly see. But praise God, there's none in me. Are we going to spend our life connecting with people who are imperfect? Can I ask you a question? Aren't you glad that God connected with imperfect people? Everybody has problems. Everybody has imperfections. Everybody has blind spots. Everybody has idiosyncrasies. I bet you haven't used that word this week. Turn to the person next to you and say, I have idiosyncrasies. Or you could say, I'm idiosyncratic. Now we can spend our life correcting one another. You know what I found out about correcting people? It's like raising Bremer cattle. The technical term is Brahman, but Bremer cattle. You can't drive them anywhere, and every time you fix the fence, they'll find another place to go through. People are the same way. Every time you corral them, they'll find a way to get out. You've heard the term herding cats. Focus enables us to know where we are going. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So often in life we get confused. Which way are we going to go? And here's what God says to do. This is it. This is the message right here. All right? God says, live intentionally, add value to your life by adding value to someone else's life in your pain, in your suffering. Think like Jesus, who suffered more than we've suffered. Remember what we read a moment ago? He suffered more than we suffered. And don't let your suffering drive you into a lifestyle that is harmful to you and harmful to others. That's what he said. But instead, he said, find people to help. Find people to build up and strengthen. So here's what we do. We value people. We think intentionally of ways to value people. We look for ways to value people. And we take action. We perform. We add value to other people's lives by encouraging them with words or things or service or time or help. And then we encourage others to add value to other people. That's God's word. That's God's word for you today. And if you'll receive it, say amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Bob Defoe is coming to the keyboard to play a beautiful song. And it's a song that is very, very meaningful to many of us in this place. It is Well With My Soul. Written by a man who had lost everything. And family, his daughters at sea. But he wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Can we say that today? Only the Christian can say that. In the midst of our troubles and our trials, it is well with my soul.